Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. For every $25 you bet on college basketball, WynnBET is giving you the chance to win a trip to Las Vegas for March Madness and $1,000 in free WynnBET credits. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Head on over to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app today. And finally, we're brought to you by StableDuel. StableDuel is a horse racing daily fantasy sports app where you can play free and paid games for real cash prizes. You can win as much as $15,000 with just one entry. Head on over to StableDuel.com and get started today. And of course, make sure you download the SGPN app. It's your home for all of our free picks and podcasts right there in the palm of your hands. Download the SGPN app wherever it is you download apps.
Hello, DeGenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Mighty Mighty Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Thank you for checking us out. I'm wasting time because I forgot what episode number it is. We're up to episode 119. I was going to say 118, but we already did 118. So this one's 119. It's dedicated to the MMA Manifesto, RIP, rest in pieces. Thank you for coming to the show. Like I said, hopefully you're listening to us on our feed, the MMA Gambling Podcast feed, so you can get us in your ears right away before all of our great advice shifts the lines too much and you aren't able to grab that underdog or 10 times your money parlay play that we're going to give you later on. But subscribe to our feed, and if you give us a review, that would be amazing. Even if it's a bad review. We'll accept bad or good reviews, as long as the bad reviews are not about me, but are instead about my co-host, who I will introduce now. I don't think I have anything fancy to tell you about him this time. I think we should just get right down to business. He's the man up from the mountains. He is known as Daniel Gumby Vreeland. He's the half of the duo here who's not on a heater like I am. Hello, Daniel.
I'm on a heater if we do just straight up recommended plays. I'm on a heater for those. And I would also say I think I am on a heater because you mentioned the 10-1 Hungry Man Jong parlay. I think we hit that last week, did we not?
You think we hit it or did we hit it?
I can't remember because I think it was if I'm remembering correctly, and again the hazy memory. I think we had Dawkins. I think we had Onama. I think we had Jonathan Pierce, Mario Bautista, and then we also had Jim Miller. And I think that would have made it 10-1.
Wow.
I could be wrong, but now I'm second guessing myself. But
someone go back and listen because we won't go back and listen.
Go back and listen. Tell me that we're great. Go back and listen.
Yes.
And tell me we're great.
Because this will be the second time you hit a massive parlay then, because you hit a 13, famously hit a 13 to 1. Parlay last year also.
Yeah. So amazing. You know, I'm on a heater too.
We're good at what we do, as someone would say, right?
Somebody would say, yes, we're good
Somebody
at what we
would
do.
Say, we're pretty good at what we do. If listeners are sensing a different vibe, I'm recording from a different spot and we're recording at a unusual time for us. So maybe the vibe will be different on the show today. I'm not sure. We'll have to wait and see how our picks go. any nonsense that needs to be discussed before we get down to this amazing fight card we have to break down? I guess needs is a strong word, but I'm trying to think if there is.
John Jones got in trouble again. Either that or footage of old John Jones getting in
trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know which one it is, but like I didn't actually click on it because I was like, oh, this is either new bad stuff or old bad stuff that I already lived through once. In neither case requires a click.
That was Las Vegas, the last one where he didn't beat up his fiance that time. So it's just him. I didn't watch it, but it's just him headbutting police cars and asking the police to kill him.
The standard right in the stuff. Middle. Standard stuff, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Just an average day where Dan lives, right, Dan?
Yeah, that's right.
Happens all the time.
Yeah, that's completely a normal thing to happen.
Let me think. Anything else exciting? Well, that's not exciting. That's depressing, but it is John Jones. No real big fights announced or fights falling through, I don't think. I think it's been kind of quiet, has it not?
Yeah, the Bobby Green replacement is pretty much the only thing. We're obviously going to get into that. I think we mentioned it even on last show because it had already happened then. But, yeah, no, other than that, I don't think we've had any big bookings or anything. It's kind of a weird one. We keep getting, I guess, Jorge Masvidal and Colby Covington running their mouth and trying to sell their fight because it's a non-title fight pay-per-view. So apart from that, I don't know.
Yeah, let's talk about that fight card quickly. It's what, in 2 weeks, March 5th, UFC 272. Is this really a pay-per-view level card? We got Covington Masvidal for nothing at the top of the card. What, Rafael Dos Anjos versus Rafael Fiziev as the co-main event? Like, is this really a...
That's pretty good. I would say,
I know it's good, but we're talking...
And Barboza Mitchell's a good one, too.
Yeah, but we're talking the pay-per-view.
Yeah, they're really resting on the Colby Covington, Jorge Masvidal to sell this. And you know what, to be fair, Jorge Masvidal has sold a lot of pay-per-views already, right? Like that guy is, you know, we watched him get his ass kicked by Kamaru Usman and then get an immediate rematch without winning another fight. And it sold again, inexplicably sold again. So, I think the UFC is resting heavily on the fact that people will pay to watch him fight. And, you know, not for anything, Colby Covington put together a couple of good pay-per-views with Kamaru Usman as well. Now, I guess you, in the grand scheme of things, you have to ask yourself with both of those, was it Usman selling the pay-per-views or was it any of these guys? And I'm sure they can point to whatever the buy rate was on Gilbert Burns to show that, like, these two do have a little bit of drawing power, although – that Gilbert Burns one was weird, too, because wasn't that, like, the first one after no events for a really long time that was, like, the Fight Island debut or something like that? So
it sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe that's not even a really good point. But, like, ultimately, like, these two have shown that they can headline a pay-per-view with somebody else. Now the question is with each other. Is there enough beef there? They're certainly trying to hype it up. They're certainly trying to give us the beef.
That's true. And one of the biggest selling UFC pay-per-views of all time was kind of a similar matchup between Rampage Jackson and Rashad Evans for nothing but two rivals at the top of the card.
That fight sucked, too.
I know. It was a massive it made a lot of money, but the fight wasn't too exciting.
That's a bummer.
The thing is, the undercard of this pay-per-view does not really have any star power on it. It has people, obviously, to gens like us want to watch, but there's really no, like, superstar or future superstar really on the undercard too, which is interesting. Usually if they're not gonna have a title fight on the top, then they're gonna have the rest of the card really solid. It's solid matchups, but nothing a common the casual, so to speak, would be wanting to spend $65 on, you think.
Now I'd actually argue the opposite though. Like this card, especially the main card, is filled with people who I have a little bit less interest in than I think the common fan would. Like, No offense to Kevin Holland, I don't see him as like a future title challenger, and I barely feel like he's top 15 in middleweight, which is one of the worst weight classes out there. And now he's moving down to welterweight, where I think he's going to get even more demolished. And he's on the main card, but like people love him, right? Like people love listening to him shit talk. So I think that's a big one for fans. Like him or not, in like we're post-hype on Greg Hardy and all that kind of stuff, people pay to watch that fucking dude fight. And I know it sucks, and I know we don't want to pay to watch him fight, and I know that it upsets us every time, but clearly the amount it upsets us and the amount we tweet about it, the UFC realizes we're tweeting about it, and it's news, and he's a shithead, and they're going to capitalize on it. So, like, again, a common fan would pay to see Greg Hardy while we wouldn't. And you could probably say the same thing about Bryce Mitchell. That idiot just put his foot in his mouth and called school shootings a government conspiracy. People are going to want to see either him get his face kicked in or rally to support him in their crazy-ass way at this point in time. So, like, there's a lot of guys on here that have found ways to, like, make themselves news stories. So I think maybe that's – if it's not planned, it's very convenient for the UFC.
Yeah, very good points. Very good points. But we shall see. And I've said in previous episodes, it doesn't really matter too much to them if these pay-per-views are. They prefer them obviously to sell lots, but they're getting their money regardless. So it's not the end of the world if it doesn't sell a huge amount of pay-per-views. And it's going to be a hard act to follow after this massive fight card we have coming up this weekend. I don't know how they're going to follow it up. We thought last week's was a little soft. This one, I don't know. What do you think? On paper, what's the better fight card, last week's or this one coming up?
Last week's.
Yeah.
100% last week's. Yeah.
Yeah. this one has taken some hits, which we can go through, but yeah, I think I'd probably have to agree.
Yeah, and it's not, I wouldn't say it's like, last week's was head and shoulders better, and maybe like we also have the ability to like live in hindsight here, where we know that it's better at the end of the day, right? Because we saw it happen, and there were some damn good fights on that at the end of the day. But this one, yeah, not a lot of intriguing matchups in this one. Not a lot of like there were like a couple of fun stylistic ones, and the style part of them kind of went away when they had to replace a fighter, which is kind of a bummer too. So, yeah, not great.
It's got a better fight poster though. I'll give it that.
Yeah,
it's a drawing. I assume it looks like a drawing to me. I'm looking at it on Wikipedia. It's a good drawing, regardless. Other than that, yeah, it's taken its share of hits, but. Well, let's just dive right into it after we've told you why it's a bad fight card and all that. As we said before, it does not mean you cannot make a whole bunch of money off it, because last week's was a bad fight card and I made a whole bunch of money off it. Dan hit almost all of his recommended plays. So maybe we could argue you could do better on crappy fight cards because not as many people are betting on it. Maybe changing the lines. You think that's a decent take or not?
It could be. I will say though, sometimes on the biggest fights, you see the lines go craziest because somebody's fat casual money came in on Conor McGregor or something like that. So sometimes you're right. Like the books line it somewhere, and there's not enough money to really sway it, and the books were way wrong. But more often than not, the books are pretty good at what they do, and it takes a whole lot of idiots to make them put up a bad line. So in this case, yeah, I kind of think they're a little bit harder in certain circumstances.
Yeah, it's true. I'm just trying to spin things down so people won't click off the podcast right now and say I'm not listening to it because they told me it's a crappy fight card, but no. Dan's got to go and tell him that it's a hard fight card to pick. Also, I did have trouble with some of my picks, to be perfectly honest, because I'm like, I don't remember these people. I've seen them fight before, but I don't really remember them.
That means I got to make you go first then, huh?
Yeah, like split decision winners on the Contender Series. Like I'm going to remember that, but anyhow. we'll dive into it in a sec. First, I'm going to dive into telling you about WynnBET. WynnBET has a massive college basketball contest. The grand prize winner will receive a reserved seating area, which is 4 seats, the world-renowned Wynn Las Vegas Race and Sports Book for the early round action of the college basketball tournament, which is Thursday, March 17th and Friday, March the 18th, as well as 2 rooms at Wynn Las Vegas for a 2-night stay. In addition, they will be awarded with $1,000 in free bets on WynnBET. Any WynnBET patron that places a minimum $25 wager on college basketball during the promotion period will become eligible for the prize, and players can take advantage of the offer immediately. There is no limit to the number of entries that a patron can receive into the grand prize drawing. For example, if a patron wagers $1,000 in college basketball during the promotional period, they will receive 40 entries. That's how that math works. Here's the important stuff. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where play through WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And finally, not finally, but finally for this break, let me tell you about IP Vanish. Did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without added security, you might as well give away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why I use IP Vanish VPN to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IP Vanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. This means that your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IP Vanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple. You can use IP Vanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing on speed. Your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go online anymore without IP Vanish. IP Vanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's just like eating 9 months for free. A lot of math in these ad reads, but luckily they did the math for me. IP Vanish is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You won't even know it's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you stream, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back today with the brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. Go to ipvanish.com/SGP and use promotion code SGP and claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. I use it so people will not see my searches for Daniel Vreeland naked pictures. Did I say that out loud or in my head? Crap. I think I was out loud. Anyhow,
I think you said the quiet part loud and the loud part quiet.
The loud part quiet, yes. Is that from The Simpsons? That's from The Simpsons, isn't it?
I'm sure they said it at some point.
I'm sure. All right. Let's get down to this exciting fight night card from the UFC Apex. That's when you know it's going to be an action-packed card. It's UFC Fight Night, Makhachev versus Green, a.k.a. UFC Fight Night 202, a.k.a. UFC and ESPN Plus 60, a.k.a. UFC Vegas 49. All right, it is, like I said, from the UFC Apex. It is on Saturday night. I believe you said it was another 4 p.m., 7 p.m. Eastern start times, right?
That's what I read, yes.
All right, prelims, ESPN Plus 4 p.m., main card, ESPN Plus 7 p.m. All right, first, we'll tell you the bad news. It was supposed to be Makhachev versus Dariush, Beneil Dariush. Basically a number one contender fight, but Dariush broke his leg. It says ankle injury, but he technically broke his leg, did he not?
That's my understanding is it's just it's like a high ankle, like you'd say high ankle sprain, but it's technically tibia or something like that, and it's just above the ankle.
Okay. Actually, that could be worse than, a lot of times those things are worse than broken bones, but anyhow, that's why he is out. So Bobby Green took this fight on 10 days notice at a catchweight. Yeah, well, that's an even better part of this, Dan. This is a catchweight fight.
I think it's got to be, because did you hear Bobby Green said he was up to 195?
No way.
After,
what is he fight
at? After his, at 155. So
I know. I mean,
I have no idea. I've never seen
it. He's not 195. He's not 40 pounds heavier on fight night, is he?
But like, he had just got done off of a big win. He probably had a couple of real meals. Like, yeah. I mean, like, it sounds insane, but like, that's how big guys get sometimes. And so like, man, like, it had to be a catchweight. Had to be.
Something, but still, this is not much of a catchweight, 5 pounds. Really 4 pounds, because he could, I guess, no, 5 pounds. He could probably be 161 now, right? But yeah, that's something to keep in mind. It's short notice fight for him, plus he sounds like he has to do a massive weight cut. Do head tattoos weigh anything? Is that part of the problem?
I don't think so, but I can have my guy look at it.
Check. He's got the Bam Bam Bigelow thing going on. All right, what else can I tell you? We lost Jairzinho Rozenstruik versus Marcin Tybura. That was supposed to be on this card. Like, when you add in all the matches I'm going to mention, it's a decent fight card. What else do we have? We lost Wu Yanan. She had to get replaced, and then her replacement got fired.
Yeah, she didn't even make her debut.
Jennifer Gonzalez got signed to step in, and then they got rid of her. Did you hear why they got rid of her?
Yeah, it was.
Is she like a Nazi or something?
No, well, that's
usually
happened
it's stuff like that.
That's happened before. No, I guess USADA went to go do their first check-in.
Oh, yeah.
And she had some kind of fight with the agent. I didn't understand it 100% because it was like a foreign
Portuguese
language
English,
interview I think it was Spanish because if I'm not,
oh really? Okay.
If I'm remembered correctly, she's from Chile. I think she's Chilean. There was some sort of issue, and some people claim that it was due to a translation issue, and I was getting the story through a translation, so I didn't 100% understand, but it was some sort of USADA problem. She didn't take the test when she was supposed to, and they were like, you're a 35-year-old fighter without a UFC fight on your record. We can just get rid of you and replace you with Ramona Pascual, who is going to be in this fight instead.
Yep, and then Dan's favorite actor, Makhmud Muradov, had to pull out. He was supposed to fight Misha Cirkunov. He had to pull out of his fight. We were supposed to have Ryan Spann versus Ian Kudalaba, which is another good fight. That one fell off the card. And then we had Joni Parsons fall off, but he got replaced actually by probably a better fighter. So.
Yeah, but it makes it a less fun style matchup, which we'll talk about when we get to it.
So if you had Rozenstrike, Tybura, Spann, Kudalaba on this fight card, along with some of the better names that had to pull out and get replaced, it's a pretty solid fight card.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so I'm not crapping all over the UFC for this one. They're doing what they can. So what we're left with is a 12-fight card. Am I right with that, or is it 13?
Yep.
2, 3. Yep, 12 fights. Starting with flyweights, the two guys I mentioned, both of them won via split decision on the Contender Series, and both of them got a contract nonetheless because the UFC is building up the flyweight division again, I guess. Is that the reason why?
Seems like it.
Yeah, which is good, which we're
I'm
all
here for it.
Here.
Yeah.
Exactly. We're not a shockwave. We're here for it. But yeah, so both these guys usually have to do something pretty impressive on the Contender Series, and I don't remember either of these guys, so I don't think they did anything impressive, did they? Squeaking out wins?
I mean, like, they were pretty fun fights. Like, they were action-packed.
Yeah.
Remember that, though, so we're going to talk about Victor Altaramondo in a second, and he's the guy who both he and his opponent who lost the fight got a contract.
Okay, yes. All right. Yeah. Okay. Yep, I remember him now. Did you know that he's Al Magnifico? That's transfer. That's a segue right into breaking down him. Victor Altamirano. What do you think Al Magnifico means, Dan?
The magnificent.
Yes, probably. I didn't even look it up, but I'm guessing that's what it means. He is 10-1, one knockout, four submissions. His one loss came via sub. He was 1-0 in the Contender Series, as I mentioned. He's won four straight fights. He was the LFA champion before he went into the Contender Series. 3 inches of reach over Hernandez. The stats I'm telling you coming up is just based off of one fight for each guy. He's more active striker, better grappling stats, plus 100. All right, Hernandez, 7-1, four submissions. He's never been finished in a fight. He also won it on the Contender Series. He's 2 years younger than Al Magnifico. He was the HFC champ, which I think was Hoosier fight championship. I only know that because I just did these stats like a couple minutes ago. I'm not a big HFC fan. He's minus 125. Do you want to go first? Or do you want me to break it down first? Or I guess I did break it down.
I guess you can go first on this
one. All right. I'm taking Al Magnifico at the even money. This one's kind of a toss-up as the numbers show, and I like his resume better. I like the fact that he's been a champ before. I like that he's got the reach advantage. I like a lot of times when it's new guys and I don't remember much or have even seen them fight much, I check out the resumes and who they fought, and I think he's fought a better level of competition. So that's my take.
Yeah, I'm going to take Altamirano again. Man, that name is for some reason miserable for me. So I'm going to take Altamirano again because it's tricky for me because I actually think Carlos Hernandez is the better wrestler here. But I think Altamirano is good off of his back. I also don't know that Carlos Hernandez will try to wrestle because he kind of failed in his fight with Daniel Baez in the on the Contender Series. He also got popped a bunch of times in that fight, including once he got real wobbly. that's another reason why I like Altamirano here too, is because he like throws big heavy haymakers and really goes for it on the feet, whereas Hernandez is a little bit more safe, and not even safe in a way where his defense looks really great, but like safe in a way where he just doesn't pull the trigger enough and he's like looking for his openings too long. And I think for that reason, Altamirano is going to have a little bit more pace, and he's going to put up a little bit more as far as the judges' scorecards go. So I'm going to go with Altamirano. I will say, of all of the fights on this card, this is the most miserable one to try to predict.
yeah.
Like both being guys who won by split decision on Contender Series, guys I haven't seen a ton of, but also guys who have like very clear flaws. Like Altamirano just gets like really comfy off of his back and goes for submissions, and against Candelario, he didn't get it. At some points, he got like sweeps and stuff like that, but like then you get Hernandez, who's got like a clear striking defense issue and like, you know, so-so wrestling, but maybe better than Altamirano. So it's tough to call both because they're pretty even, and they also both have like weaknesses that I'm not sure the other one can even exploit.
There you go. Dan agrees on me, and just right out of the bat, I like right out of the shoot us getting an underdog, even if it's a plus 100. And yeah, speaking to what Dan said about this being a tough one to pick, it's the closest line also on the board. So there you go. It's not just us thinking it's difficult to predict. All right, moving on to welterweights. Ramiz Brahimaj, who is stepping in on short notice for this fight against Michael Gilmore. Why is his name spelled wrong always, Dan? Why does he do E before A? Why did his parents do that to him?
I don't know. It's a weird look, though.
Yes, it is. I feel like I want to call him Michel Gilmore, but regardless, he's the gentleman, everyone. He is 6-4 with 3 knockouts on his pro record. He's been knocked out once and submitted 3 times, so all of his losses have come via finish. He's 0-1 in the UFC, lost via TKO to a fellow housemate on The Ultimate Fighter, Petrosky, that dude. So he lost to him in his official debut. He also lost his only fight in the Ultimate Fighter House. That was up at middleweight. This one's down at welterweight. He's got inch of height over Brahimaj, plus 260 coming back on him. Brahimaj, 9-4 with 9 submissions, so we've got a path to victory there. He's been knocked out once. That's the only time he's been finished. He's 1-2 in the UFC. We got our one and only pattern this week, Dan. Loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. So that's 7 straight fights. He's swapped losses and wins. His last fight being a loss, which was back last month. He's taking this on very short notice. He lost to that Court McGee fellow. We both picked it, Brahimaj, and he broke our hearts there. He's 5 years younger than Gilmore. Grappling stats in his favor, but it's a very small sample size for Gilmore. Minus 350. Over to you this time.
I'm going to take Brahimaj. I will say this. So he was Gilmore was supposed to fight Johnny Parsons in this fight. Yep. And I will say this. When that line was posted, which wasn't quite as steep as this, instead of -350 for the favorite, I think it was like -220 or something like that. I was sitting there debating Michael Gilmore because I actually think he looked really good striking with Andre Petrovsky. If you remember, like he probably took a round off of Petrovsky in that fight. And it wasn't until the third round where Petrovsky really got his grappling going and wound up getting the finish. So, you know, like I think Gilmore, even coming down to welterweight, has a lot of promise, and he was going to fight a guy in Johnny Parsons who was just going to throw with him because he's the kickboxing coach at Syndicate, and I was like, oh, yeah, this is a perfect matchup. Like, Gilmore, a kickboxer, a guy who wants to go throw hands with a guy who's going to throw hands with him. It was, like, an intriguing setup for him, but, like, now this is a guy who's lost, you know, 4 times, 5 times if you count on The Ultimate Fighter, 4 of them by submission, and 1 of them could have been a submission. Instead, he ground and pounded him out while he was waiting to look for the submission up against Brahimaj, a guy who puts on submission. So, you know, Gilmore's takedown defense held up a little bit in that last fight, but I don't think it's good enough here to hold up against Brahimaj.
So he's getting done dirty, is he, Dan?
I mean, like, I don't think they were trying to do him dirty, though, because here's the thing, too. I actually think they like Gilmore. If you remember on The Ultimate Fighter, he was a guy who didn't actually get into the house. He wasn't one of the 16 people they picked for the house. And he just chose to stand by and just be near the show constantly until they needed a replacement. What's his name? Blew his leg out and then they pulled him in. So he was actually only in the house for a little while, but I think the UFC wanted him around after that because he got a fight after the show, which only a couple of people did. So, it seems like they like him, and I think they were trying to give him a favorable matchup, and then the favorable matchup fell apart, and they gave him an awful one.
You're so silly. You just said, if you remember on The Ultimate Fighter. No one remembers on The Ultimate Fighter, Dan. you're the only person watching The Ultimate Fighter. You're talking to yourself here. Anyhow, yeah, Brahimaw, or I like to say Brahimaj, he's the pick here, despite the minus 350 line. I'm going against the stats, though. I'm going against the – I know it's a silly stat, the win-loss thing, but 75% accurate so far since they started tracking it. So there you go. But I think this is going to be the – one of the 25% that goes against that. And Brahimaw gets back on the winning track here. Let's move on to Bantamweight's Alejandro Perez versus Jonathan Martinez. The Bantamweight, the best division in the UFC, probably?
Yeah, it's right up there.
I think we mentioned that last, or it's one of the favorite divisions at the very least. All right, Turbo is Mr. Perez's nickname. He's 22-8-1 with 9 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted 3 times. He's 8-3-1 in the UFC. He's only won one of his last 3, though. He lost 2 straight, and then he won his last one via submission. He, because everything comes back to The Ultimate Fighter, he was 2-0 in The Ultimate Fighter and the champion when he was on that show. He made his pro debut 2005. He's at plus 185 here. Jonathan the Dragon Martinez, 14-4, 7 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's only lost 1 time via knockouts, 1 time he's been finished in a fight. 5-3 in the UFC. He's won 3 of his last 4, including his last fight. He has had issues missing weight in the past. He's fought down a weight class and up a weight class. He's been at flyweight and featherweight. This one's right in the middle at bantamweight. He's got 2 inches height over Perez, 5 inches of reach, 5 years younger. He's a more active striker, minus 240. I will be going with the Dragon here. On a nice roll, much bigger, much younger, more active on the feet. He's the pick.
Yeah, I also think he's going to just, like, avoid any of the ground against Perez, which I think will work out well for him. Martinez, it's seemingly really close to being on a 4-fight winning streak with the fact that he just, like, got caught with a punch by Davy Grant. And when you talk about the people he beat in there, too, Frankie Saenz, Thomas Almeida, and Zavid Lazashvili, who are all really tough dudes. They tried to book him with Nathaniel Woods, so clearly they're high on him as well. Yeah, I think he's the type of guy here who's just going to, like, kick Alejandro Perez's legs to oblivion and then outbox him. And Perez, you know, don't get me wrong, is put together a nice little run lately. But the thing about it is, too, that he's beating guys who are, like, old and aged out or getting ready to be fired. You know, you beat Yuri Alcantara and Eddie Wineland and Johnny Eduardo. Like, those are old dudes. He's not keeping up with young, fast people like Jonathan Martinez. So, yeah, I'll take Martinez.
Yes, I was going to say he's an old dude himself, relatively speaking, for his weight class. 32 is not in the prime of your career for a bantamweight. So we've agreed on all of them so far. Oh, dear. Let's see if that's the thing. Let me check. Back to my beloved stats. Consensus, we're 61% on fights over the past, 400 fights I have here? That we've over 400 fights that we've agreed on, and we're 66% this year. So it's actually a good thing when we agree with one another, because normally we are right. We did really good on that last week. I think we only missed on one that we both agreed on. So there you go. All right. Let me tell you about Stable Duel before we move on to the rest of this super exciting fight card. There are never enough things to gamble on, and the one sport that runs 365 days a year is horse racing. Best part is now there is a new way to play the ponies, especially if you're brand new to the sport. Check out StableDuel, a daily fantasy-style app where you can play free and pay games for real cash prizes. Pick your horses, build your stable, and play against others to move up the leaderboard. Win as much as $15,000 with one entry. Don't know anything about horses, you might say? Well, not to worry. The app gives you clear data on which horses to select. As my voice cracks, I'm going through puberty to build your best strategy. The app is free to download at StableDuel.com. Multiple games are offered each day with free games weekly at tracks all over the United States. Get in the app, create your account, and start building your stables today. Invite your friends to play against you or play against our stables. You can even follow them in the app, and we can compare our own stats. Download now at StableDuel.com and see how many winners you can pick in your stable. See you in the winner's circle. Play, race, win over at StableDuel. All right, what's the next exciting fight that we're going to break down, Dan? None of these fights are bad necessarily. It's just not massive names, but hey, that's what you get in fight nights. All right, this one is good one. So I like Jin Yufrei, and I like that she's winning fights again. It's women's strawweight, Jin Yufrei versus Hannah Goldie. Goldie's 24K. Fry does not have a nickname, but what's her Twitter thing? Something like Little Rue 2 or something like that. So that could be her nickname. All right, Goldie, 6-2, one knockout, one submission. She's 1-2 in the UFC. Won her last fight via submission after dropping her first two fights. She was 1-0 in the Contender Series, because really everything goes back to the Contender Series nowadays. She used to fight at flyweight. This one's down at strawweight. She's an inch taller than Frey or Fry. I think it's Frey, isn't it? Shouldn't you Frey? Or is
no,
it Fry?
It's Fry.
Why did I think Frey sounds better? It doesn't, though. Fry does sound better. Goldie's 7 years younger than Fry, who's actually one of those veterans in the sport at 36, almost 37. Boom, boom, boom. She's more than two times more active striking than Fry is. Goldie, that would be. And she's at plus 150. Fry, 11-6, one knockout, two submissions. She's been knocked out twice and submitted once. She's 2-2 in the UFC. However, after dropping her first two fights, she's 1-2 straight. Hey, wait a minute. I didn't write this down, but she was on the Ultimate Fighter 2. Was she not?
No, neither of these two were in the Ultimate Fighter.
Oh, sorry. Okay, I was thinking she was in the house for some reason. I'm thinking someone else, but no. She just got signed by the UFC when they got that weight division. Maybe that's why I'm getting confused. Anyhow, she was 7-2 in Invicta, where she was the champion of the Atom weight division. And however, she was missing weight. She missed weight quite often at Atom weight. This one's up at strawweight. She's got 4 inches to reach over Goldie. She's got the grappling advantage over her as well, stat-wise, and she's at minus 190. Now, Dan's going to tell you where the smart money is going to go.
Jin Yufrei.
Correct. I agree.
Yeah, I have actually never been really sold on Hannah Goldie. When she got signed to the UFC, everybody was talking about her. They liked how she looked on Contender Series, beating Callie Robbins, which I wasn't even really high on that. I didn't think she should have gotten a contract off of that, but she did. And then Miranda Granger beat the hell out of her in her debut. She got beat up by Daniela Bilbita. And she did beat Emily Whitmire in her last fight, but it was just because Whitmire took her down and was holding her down and then got lazy with her arm. And also, not for anything, Emily Whitmire is a career 4-5 fighter, which not 4-5 in the UFC, 4-5 total. So, I haven't seen really a lot from Hannah Goldie that impresses me other than her getting, outboxed. And Jin Yufrei can totally outbox her. Jin Yufrei's, striking is incredible, and she's great in the clinch, and she's also shown lately that she's got really good takedowns. She beat Gloria DePaula almost exclusively on just taking her down and controlling her, and she did the same thing to Ashley Yoder, which is pretty damn impressive too, because Yoder's a good grappler. So I think she could do that with Hannah Goldie, but I also don't even think she needs to. So I'm really high on Jin Yufrei in this fight.
Yes, I am taking her as well. Yeah, this nice. I'm glad they're giving her some matchups so she can win here. It's nice to see a veteran getting a good run here in the UFC. So we agreed once again. All right. Moving on to boom, 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 boom. Lightweights. Terrence McKinney versus Ferris Zayam. McKinney is T-Rex, W-R-E-C-K-S, T-W-R-E-C-K-S, and Zayam's the Smile Killer. Both of them very solid nicknames. This is another very close one on the boards. Let's tell you about T-Rex first. McKinney, 11-3, 5 knockouts, 6 submissions. Everything is a finish for him. He's been knocked out twice, submitted once. So that also is he's basically never gone to the distance is my roundabout way of saying that. Maybe perhaps a prop bet coming up. Who knows? One and only UFC, very famously won via knockout. That was short notice fight too, correct?
Yes.
Yep. Very short notice, right?
Yeah, he took it on a week's notice, and he knocked out Matt Favola.
There you go. He's won 4 straight, all via finish. He was 0-1 on the Contender Series. He lost to Jordan Williams, that you always crap on, that guy, right?
Correct.
Correct.
No. That can't be right.
It wasn't? Okay.
Jordan Williams is much bigger.
Yeah, all right. Well, I remember someone lost to Jordan Williams when I was
doing my research. Sean Woodson. He lost to
Sean Woodson. Okay. He's also much bigger, but anyhow,
longer.
Yes, longer. True. Yeah, I guess no one's going to call that guy big. Striking and grappling stats in his favor, but that's based off of, I guess, 2 fights. He's fought on the Contender Series as well. Plus 110 coming back at him. The Smile Killer, Zayam, 12-3, 5 knockouts, 9 submissions. He's been subbed twice in his career. He's 2-1 in the UFC. He dropped his debut, but won two straight. He has a few regional championships on his mantle. He used to fight at welterweight and middleweight. This one is what? Lightweight, correct? Correct.
Correct. Yep.
What else can I tell you about Mr. Zayam? He's got 3 inches height over McKinney, 2 inches reach, 3 years younger, minus 134. I'm going to take a dog here. I'm going to take McKinney. Hopefully he can keep this huge momentum he has going. And I like his, obviously, his crazy finishing power. Let's roll the dice. I think he's worth a stab at plus 110.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you, too. I like Terrence McKinney. I think Zayim is a tough matchup for him in that he's, like, a really good kickboxer. And there's, like, a lot of things to like about Faris Zayim. But, like, the fact of the matter is McKinney's putting people away since, you know, you mentioned his contender series loss and some of his other regional losses and stuff like that. He's only ever lost down at featherweight. He decided, like, killing himself to make that weight class no longer made any sense. I'll go up to lightweight. And since then, he's just gotten and has looked great doing it. So, like, I think he's just got to touch Zayim. And while Zayim is, you know, so elusive that, like, Terrence McKinney's never get close to him. So, yeah, I like Terrence McKinney. I'll also say this. Comes from a wrestling background. His wrestling coach was Michael Chiesa. So should he be having trouble at knockout blow? He could always just go to the wrestling game too. So yeah, I like McKinney here.
There you go. We are still on the same page. But as I said before, it's a good thing. Betting wise, it just makes fight day a little less fun for us, right, Dan?
We just don't bicker. That's fine. Yeah, that's fine.
It's true. I guess. That's fine. All right. Women's featherweight apparently is a weight class. Did you know that? Because there's a featherweight fight coming up next.
It's only because it was on short notice, though. It was originally supposed to be a 135 fight.
Okay. There you go. See, that's the only time.
Not big enough to be in that weight class.
Yes. Yeah. Pascuella, it definitely is. Josie Nunez, or Josiane, if you want to be more formal, fighting Ramona Pascuella. Who is taking this on short notice, and it is her debut. Anything, before I go through all her info, anything of note to tell us about her? Have you seen her fight before?
Yeah, when we broke down that Invicta card like 2 months ago, she was on that. Broke her down fighting a different opponent because her opponent dropped out with COVID, I believe, in 2-0 fighter on short notice in one. But like we had broken down her fight for that fight or for that card.
There you go. And yes, she, like I said, she's taking this on short notice. She's 6-2 as a pro with 4 knockouts, 1 submission. She's been knocked out once and submitted once, so she's only been stopped. All of her losses have come via stoppage. She's won 4 straight, though, 3 straight via finish. One of those, the last one, on Invicta. That's her only Invicta fight on record, so she's 1-0 Invicta. She used to fight at bantamweight. She also used to fight at 150 pounds. Her last fight was 150, was it not, the Invicta one?
Yeah, it was because the short notice replacement.
Yeah, so she
Make it down.
Yeah, so that's like Dan said, that's why this one's going to be at 145 pounds as well. She's 5 inches taller than Nunez, so that explains the weight thing. She's at plus 180. Josie is 8-1 with 7 knockouts, never been finished in a fight. 1-0 in the UFC via knockout. She's won 8 straight fights, 6 straight via finish. She used to fight at bantamweight. She used to fight at lightweight, 155 pounds. She's got an inch on Pascuella, 5 years younger than her, minus 200. And you said Nunes is too small for featherweight. She used to fight at lightweight, dude.
Didn't you just read off, is she 5'2"? Is that what you said she was?
I don't read heights, but no,
oh,
I'm not
sure
how.
She's 5'2". Is she for real? Yeah, she's very short.
She used to be 155 pounds. Are you going to shame her for that, Dan?
I don't think she used to be 155 pounds. I think she probably had to fight somebody else who was not going to make it to her weight class, and she just did it. Look, this is the second straight fight where she's fought somebody who has a massive reach and size advantage on her. Because she fought Bay Malecki in her UFC debut, who is damn near 6 foot tall, and with really long arms. And the reach just didn't matter, and I don't think it does here either. I'm going to take Josie Nunez. Ramona Pascuella, while being a much bigger opponent here, she looked good beating Shamira Pessoa, but, like, that fight was on short notice. Shamir wasn't even sure she was going to fight again, it seemed like. I take very little in that, and actually I didn't like Pascual going into that fight. So I think Pascual is too slow for Nunes. I don't think she hits as hard as Nunes. I think it's one of those fights, too, where Pascual might even land more punches than Nunes at the end of the day, but the impact of those punches is going to sway the judges so much for Nunes because she hits so freaking hard. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Nunes here.
Yep, 7 knockouts in, of her 8 wins, so that speaks to the power right there. Yeah, I'm taking her as well. Power, experience in the UFC, well, it's only one fight, but still, it counts for something, and she's not taking this to short notice. So it sounds like Pascual may have some issues getting down to weight since they're making this at a higher weight class. So that is the pick. We're still on the same track. Moving on to the main event of the prelims, Zhu Rong versus Ignacio Bahamondes at lightweight. Dan is quietly disappointed I didn't butcher either of those names, right?
A little bit.
I didn't even stumble. I didn't stumble or pause. I just ripped right through it. Zhu Rong. Sometimes he's wrong. Zhu, all is one word. He is 18-4, 12 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been subbed 3 times in his career. He's 1-1 in the UFC. He won his last fight via TKO. He was a WLF champ back in China. He's 3 years younger than Bahamondes. Grappling stats in his favor. And he's Superfan Zhang's one of his favorites, right?
Yeah, Superfan Zhang hated all of those fighters from China who kept throwing up duds on Contender Series, right? Yeah.
Right.
Although
not
China top team. He's American. Yeah, the Performance Institute
right,
out there.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. But now I think he's American top team. So maybe Zhang is okay with Zhu Rong now.
Maybe. Anyhow, if he is okay with him, he can get him at plus 180. So Bahamondes La Huala. Huala? Huala? Is that how you say it, Dan? His nickname? The Huala. J-A-U-L-A.
That's how I would guess. Spanish? But yeah.
Do you know what that means?
Vaguely. I don't know what it means, actually.
The cage. It's what Google says. It's the cage. So that's where Google's
not wrong.
Yeah, that tracks. Sure. He's 12-4 with 9 knockouts. He's been submitted twice. He's 1-1 in the UFC as well. He also won his last fight via knockout. He was 1-0 in the Contender Series. He was the LFL champ. I don't remember or particularly care what that is, but he was a champ somewhere. He used to fight at welterweight. He's got 6 inches of height over Rong, 4 inches of reach, and he's almost 2 times more active striking, minus 230. Bahamondes is the pick. Way bigger and more active striker, which will help with that, which that reach advantage is going to come in quite handy for that. So he is my pick.
Yeah, and I just think he's a better striker, and this fight is going to take place entirely there. Like, it's not – this one's not one that you have to, like, severely break down, right? Bahamondes, a little bit faster, way better cardio, incredibly better cardio than Zhu Rong. It's probably not going to hit the mat, so therefore you just take the guy who's faster, younger – well, he's not younger, right? Zhu Rong's a little bit younger.
Let me check, Dan, now that I went on. Yes, 3 years younger.
That's significant.
Yeah.
But Bahamondes is faster. He's stronger. He's got better reach. He's more active. Yeah, you just Bahamondes all day here.
There you go. So we are still on track all the same. On the prelims, you're going to have to wait past these promos that I'm going to read to you to see if we can stay on the same track for the main card. First, Prop Swap. We're brought to you by Prop Swap, where America buys and sells sports bets. March Madness is around the corner, and Prop Swap is your place to cash in on the big dance. Every season, prop swappers make thousands of dollars by simply buying and selling college basketball teams. Now is the time to find those Cinderellas where the odds are high. So get to your sports book, buy a handful of tickets, and list them on Prop Swap. Remember, only one team needs to make a run, and that ticket will pay for all the rest of them. PropSwap has thousands of buyers across the country, so you always find the best odds and collect the most money for your bets. Hurry and download the free PropSwap app today. PropSwap has fantastic features like filtering listed tickets based on the best value or free activity feed to stay in the know with all the big sales and red hot tickets for sale. Loyalty rewards program that turns your ticket sales into extra bonus cash and a first deposit cash match. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit, and PropSwap will match your deposit up to $500. Join the real sports bettors on PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets. We're also brought to you by the SGPN app, us. That's us. Download our app if you haven't already. It's live in the App Store and Google Play. Gives you easy access to all our picks, podcasts, contests, all the good stuff. And toss us an app review if you could, pretty, pretty please. All right, main card, ESPN Plus, 7 p.m., middleweights. Back-to-back Armins are fighting. Armin Petrosian versus Gregory Rodriguez. Or Gregory Rodriguez, I think we decided. His nickname is Hobocop, a.k.a. Robocop. Petrosian is Superman, who I always thought was Clark Kent, but no. Or what's his name? What's his name when he was back on the Krypton? You know any Superman info, Dan?
No, I do not.
Kal-El or something. Yeah, your kids are into Spider-Man, not Superman, right?
Yeah, they are. And I'm not particularly into either.
There you go. Dan is too cool for comics, as am I. We're super cool dudes. All right, Petrosian, 6-1 with 6 knockouts. This will be his UFC debut after coming off the Contender Series, which he won via knockout, obviously, because all his fights have finished via knockout. Oh, his one loss came via knockout, so he's never been to a decision. He's won 2 straight fights, both via finish, obviously. He used to fight at light heavyweight. This one's at middleweight. He was the AMC champ. He's at +135. Rodriguez, a.k.a. Hobocop, 11-3, 5 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out himself twice, 2-0 in the UFC, 1 via knockout his last fight. He's won 4 straight fights. He was 0-1 in the Contender Series. He may have been the one that lost to that Jordan Williams guy. Does that track, Dan?
That does track, yes.
Okay, correct. There you go. He was the LFA champ. He also was the SG champ, which I don't know what it is. You know what SG is, Dan? I'm going to quiz you here.
SG.
We know what SGP and SGPN
is. Is it Smash Global?
Sure. Okay. I'm not looking it up. Okay, sure.
I think there's a promotion called Smash Global.
that's a great name. He's got 4 inches of reach over Petrosian. He's 2 years younger. Striking stats and active striking stats and grappling stats in his favor, but it's only 1 fight sample for Petrosian. -174 Hobocop Rodriguez. Over to you first.
I'm going to take Hobocop. I like Gregory Rodriguez in this fight. I like him for a couple of reasons. Number one, Petrosian is just mostly a kickboxer. If you look at his record, there's like a huge gap in activity in there where he had taken some like amateur fight and then he just didn't fight again because he's mostly a kickboxer and his brother is like a very highly noted kickboxer. So like a lot of people, when they saw him on the Contender Series, were picking against him because they're like, oh, this, you know, Bulgarian dude he's fighting is just going to wrestle him up. In fact, I think I even took the Bulgarian guy to wrestle him up. But it didn't work out that way. He wound up getting a head kick knockout. I just think he's fighting a guy now who can actually take him down, right? For all that we talk about Robocop striking, and it looked really good against Jung-Yung Park, like he also is a really great grappler. He's been on like Quinnette grappling competitions recently and stuff like that. Like he's a really top-notch grappler. So I kind of think he's just going to out-grapple Petrosian and make it so that it's a grinding of a fight. And I don't think Petrosian stands much of a chance in that case. So I'm going to take Rodriguez here.
And we're still on the same page. I'm taking Rodriguez, Hobocop as well. One guy who's not on the same page, Superfan Jong. He's ready in the slack.
He likes the Petrosian, huh?
Yeah, he does. He does.
I don't.
There you go. Sorry. Sorry, Jong. We are going against you in this one. All right, the other Armin that's fighting. This one is at lightweight, spelled differently also. Armin Tazrukian versus Joel Alvarez. Joel. You can call him Joel, though, can you not? Or do we have to call him do we have to make the J and H?
I think it's Joel, but I would also say it's Sarkurian and not Tisisarkian.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's Tazrukian. It's Tazrukian, like tsunami. Hot Shot. Tell me, Alfino Mino is Alvarez's nickname. Tell me, Tazrukian's nickname.
Tazrukian's nickname is, hang on, let me click something real quick.
Yep. You need to say it.
Oh, Jesus, fuck.
No, that's not it.
Ahokalalayat.
Yes. Ahokalalayat. I don't know what it means, or it looks Greek to me. Does it not look like a Greek word to you?
Well, Tazrukian's Armenian, right?
He's
an Armenian dude. So I don't know anything about the Armenian language or it has its own. Yeah, so maybe it looks Armenian to me.
Okay. All right, let's tell you about Alvarez first. He's 19-2, 3 knockouts, 16 submissions. Everything is a finish for this man. He's been knocked out himself once. He's 4-1 in the UFC. He dropped his debut but then won 4 straight, all via finish. However, he's missed weight kind of badly.
A lot.
Yeah. What? He was up over. It wasn't like a couple pounds either. He was over a lot, I think, like three and four pounds over the limit, I think, over his last two fights, back-to-back fights. They're still letting him fight at lightweight, though, for some reason. He was the AFL champ. He used to fight at featherweight somehow, and now he can't even make lightweight. 8 inches of height over Tsarukyan, 5 inches of reach. More active striker, plus 175. I usually like to say nicknames here. I'm not going to attempt this one. Tsarukyan, 7-2. Ahalkalakalakalakalakius is 7-2, 6 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's been knocked out once. 4-1 in the UFC. These guys are very similar records here. He's won 4 straight. Last one via TKO. He was the FEMFP champ, which is one of Dan's favorite promotions, right?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah. He used to fight at featherweight as well. These guys are like Spider-Man meme. 3 years younger than Alvarez. Striking stats and grappling stats in his favor, minus 225. I'll take chalk. You never know. I think this one's closer than the odds, but I'll take Tsarukyan. Yeah, you got to worry about Alvarez on the scale. If you're thinking of taking Alvarez, I say, even though the missing weight is not caused him to lose the last two fights, eventually you think it's going to catch up to him. So if anyone's taking Alvarez, I would say wait until Friday weigh-ins. But I'm not taking him regardless.
This is going to be our first difference then. I'm going to take Alvarez here. I think Alvarez – so like Tsarukyan is a guy who doesn't – his best work grappling. Alvarez has got a great counter to a guillotine, as we've seen him finish a whole bunch of times. You know, like if you look at the guys Tsarukyan's beat, some of them are like wrestler grappler types, like Dabi Hamosh and Olivier Aubin-Mercier, but like they're guys who, if he chose to stay on the feet, he would beat, and I don't think that's true of Alvarez here. I think he's a guy who he's going to have to choose to grapple, and that's not going to work out well for him. So, yeah, I actually like Alvarez here with the upset. I think he's a little bit better on the feet. I think he's got good counters in the grappling department. As long as he doesn't get too comfy on the bottom, I think he'll be just fine and get me some dog money here.
Yeah, you must be very happy about this line then, right?
Yeah, I mean, I am a little bit. I think it's probably lined pretty accurately because there is a chance that we see Tsarukyan just come in and try to grind him out and him get too comfortable looking for submissions. And if he does that, like, he's in trouble probably. But if he fights back to his feet or, you know, he bails on submissions when he realizes he can't get them, like, I think he's going to have a pretty good chance of winning. So I get why the line is where it is. But, yeah, I do like the fact that I'm getting dog money here.
And do you agree that wait until Friday's weigh-in before you actually put some real money on this fight? Or do you not think it matters?
So for me, in those ones, when you're talking about people missing weight, it really comes down to whether or not you think they're trying. Because, like, for somebody who misses weight and you're like, oh, he just gave up before his body shut down, way before his body shut down. Like, he had a good feeling that it wasn't going to happen, so he just stopped. Like, that, I don't think it affects him as much as somebody who, like, sucked down to, like, the last possible pounds. And so the fact that he's missing by a lot – I think actually shows he's just like not necessarily trying. And while that's terrible, I don't think it's as problematic as far as like if you just need him to win. Because if you just need him to win here, like you'd almost rather he just miss weight by 10 pounds and not give a shit and then just fight him up a weight class. So I'm less worried about that scale. Although if you wait and he misses weight, you might be able to even get a better number because the money might flock in on Tsarukyan.
Yeah, no, it's true. People that miss by a lot of times. Well, it can mean a few things. It could mean they have an injury and that's why they couldn't train to get down to the weight, or like Dan said, which would be a bad thing, obviously. Or it could mean that they just gave up and they're game in the system basically. Or they don't want to almost die. And in that case, it's a good thing, but. Fighters that miss weight only win 37% of the time. So Dan's going against the stats on this one, and no fighter that's missed weight has won a fight this year yet. They're 0-2 thus far. So Dan's bucking the trend here, but this fight's a lot, like I said, a lot closer than the numbers suggest, if you ask me, because I had trouble picking this one. All right, moving on to the person whose nickname I stole, Ji-Yeon Kim, used to be known as Fire Fist, but not any longer, because that's me. Fire Fist Fox sounds a lot better anyhow. Then the Fire Fist Kim. She's a women's flyweight. She's fighting Priscilla Cachoeira, which is also a name because her last name, of course, is what, Silva or something? Da Silva? Something like that. I'm looking it up now. Gomez da Silva. So there you go. But she goes by Cachoeira. All right. Like I said, this is a flyweight. If this isn't the third from the top fight, and then on a stacked fight card, then I don't know what it is, Dan. Right? Kim versus Cachoeira. Wow.
This is not a good one.
So we got Firefist versus Zombie Girl, which is actually both of them are quality nicknames. Zombie Girl could also be a nickname I take in the future. That's a fitting nickname for me. All right, we'll tell you about her first. That would be Cachoeira. 10-4, 6 knockouts. She's won two. She's been submitted twice herself. 2-4 in the UFC. However, she's won two of her last three fights, so she's on a roll. She's the one that got almost murdered by Valentina Shevchenko on short notice, right? In her debut, or am I thinking someone else? Yes. Okay.
Yes.
That was her debut into the UFC. She lost her last fight via submission. She used to fight up a weight class at bantamweight. She's got the grappling stats in her favor, +145. Firefist, Kim, 9-4-2 with 2 knockouts, 3 submissions, never been finished in a fight. She is 3-4 in the UFC, so yeah, this is a quality fight for sure. Two fighters with losing UFC records. She's lost her last two fights. She's also missed weight in the past twice. She also used to fight at bantamweight. She's got multiple championships on her, what, Dan?
She's got multiple championships on her resume? Is that...
Nope. What do we... You don't listen when I talk, do you?
I do, but I don't.
On her mantle.
Oh,
every episode. Every episode is mantle. We even discussed whether people have mantles. Oh, I'm so hurt. I'm really hurt here.
We have discussed that once or twice.
I am hurt. You did not pay attention. Where was I? Yes, the championship.
You're not paying attention either.
No. You sidetracked me here. She's got 7 inches of reach over Cachoeira. That is some reach advantage. People with at least 4 inches of reach are winning 67% of the time this year. So that's something to keep in mind. She's also a year younger, which is pretty much a wash. Striking stats and active striking stats in her favor, -185. We'll let you break down this stunning matchup, first of all. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to take VE on Kim. Look, I think the thing about Cachoeira is, like, I don't think she can win this fight on the feet, right? Like, this seems more like one where she kind of needs it on the mat. And, I mean, she didn't really look good on the mat last time. She doesn't hit takedowns herself. You know, she's got, like, a little bit of – I mean, I guess she did knock out Shayna Dobson on the feet. Like – And she got a TKO over Gina Mazzani. But, like, man, she got outstruck by Molly McCann and outgrappled by Molly McCann. So, like, I just can't imagine Gigi on Kim is going to have any trouble with that. You know what I mean? Like, she got outstruck by Luana Carolina. She, you know, I don't think Jillian Robertson was doing bad against her on the feet. So, like, I think I'm just going to take Gigi on Kim. I think she'll be more active here striking. I think she'll stuff any takedown she needs to and win a really boring decision.
Yes, Kim is the pick. She's gonna end her losing streak and get the win here, so she's my pick as well. All right, co-main event is middleweights, Misha Cirkunov versus Wellington Turman. Cirkunov is technically a Canadian now because he's Latvian, but he moved to Canada, so we're grabbing him as our own. All right, we'll tell you about Turman first. The prodigy, he's only 25, I think, so I think he can still be called the prodigy. This is something we've discussed also. I'm sure Dan does not remember, but Dan brought up BJ Penn still being he's running for something, right? What's he running for?
Governor of Hawaii.
Oh, Hawaii, fantastic. So if you live in Hawaii, would you vote for him, Dan? He's got real.
No,
I hear he has
like
some really.
He
good...
seems like a fucking nut job.
Really?
Yeah.
So he has a chance then, is what you're saying?
No, I don't think so.
Hawaiians are smarter than people in other parts of the world. That's good.
I think so. It seems like that.
Good to hear. Well, this isn't a Hawaiian politics podcast, is it, Dan?
It's not.
It could be. It could be someday.
It could be that.
All right. We're not talking about Hawaiians. We're talking about Brazilian Wellington Turman, the Brazilian prodigy. 17-5, 4 knockouts, 7 submissions. He's been knocked out himself twice. He's never been submitted in a fight. He's 2-3 in the UFC. He won his last fight. He used to fight at welterweight. He's taking this fight on – is he taking this fight on short notice? Yeah, he is, isn't he?
Yes.
I have that written down, but yes. It was supposed to be – Dan's favorite actor, right?
But I think he dropped out long enough ago.
Yeah, it was almost a month, I think.
Like a halfway normal camp. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was 28th of January this was announced, so it's still technically, I make it anything less than a month, I consider short notice, but yeah, he's right, bumping up right against the limit there. He's 9 years younger than Serkinov, plus 100, so even money come back in him. Serkinov, 15-7, 5 knockouts, 8 submissions. He's been knocked out 4 times, submitted twice. He's 6-5 in the UFC. He's lost 2 straight fights. He's only won 1 of his last 4. Most of his career was at light heavyweight. He just dropped to middleweight in his last fight, which I think we all agree he won, even though he didn't win, right? But that was one of those contested wins, was it not?
Maybe
you weren't on board for that.
I don't remember that one well enough.
He fought that other guy that I thought he would have fought already. Jokov, I believe.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. Boy, Dan is being Jeff and not remembering things today.
Yeah, Well, that's because you said Jokov. His name is Jocko. Christoph Jocko. You said Jokov, and I was like, yeah. Do I know who's a Jokov?
Jokov's an NBA player or something, right?
Did you say Jokov?
Yes, I thought that fight was a close one, was it not?
Yeah, it was. I think I called it for Jocko, though, as long as I'm remembering correctly, now that I have the actual Polish fighter and not some guy from the Midwest.
Yes. Anyhow, he lost the fight, no matter what we think. He was the HKFC champ. I don't know who that is, but he was. He made his debut back in 2010. He's 3 inches taller than Turman, 5 inches of reach, striking stats and active striking stats in his favor, as well as grappling stats in his favor. Minus 125. Is it my turn or your turn?
I think it's your turn. No, okay, I just took Ijeon Kim.
All right, I'm taking the Canadian. I'm taking Serkinov. I'm hoping he can get off the Schneid here and get himself a win over the so-called prodigy. Short notice is never a good thing, especially against a guy like experienced guy like Serkinov. So let's go Serkinov. Let's roll the dice in this almost pick-em fight.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm going to take Serkinov. I don't feel great about it, mostly because I know Turman has got, like, decent jiu-jitsu. And so, like, Serkinov just going for takedowns and his wrestling-heavy approach might not be the best move, and I don't really know how this looks like if it stays standing, but I will say two different people have, you know, blasted Turman on the feet and then won by ground and pound. I think that's a real possibility here, or I think, you know, maybe he just stays safe enough in the wrestling. This is more of a fate of Turman than a vote of confidence in Misha Serkinov, so I'm gonna take Serkinov, and I'm not gonna feel great about it.
But he's a prodigy, Dan. How can you not feel good about the prodigy?
He's not a prodigy. He's the prodigy.
It's true. He's even better. He's the prodigy, and yet you're not big on him, huh?
Nope, I am not.
Go figure. All right, Dan, did not give him that nickname. All right, main event time. Catchweight, 160 pounds, Islam Makhachev versus Bobby Green, King Bobby Green, who's fresh off winning, how many weeks ago? 2 weeks ago, was it? Two events ago? Or was it? It wasn't last week, was it?
No, it was 2 weeks.
Yes. All right. Fresh off winning there. He is the king. He's 29-12-1, 10 knockouts, 8 submissions. Despite that extensive record, this is his first time headlining on a major promotion. He's been knocked out twice, submitted twice. He's 10-7-1 in the UFC. He's taking this fight on short notice, as mentioned. He's 1-2 straight. Before that, he lost 2 straight. He was 4-1 in the RIP Strikeforce League. He's got a bunch of regional championships on his
mantle.
There you go. I got him brainwashed too. Perfect. He made his debut in 2008. He's got an inch of reach over Makhachev. He's almost 3 times more active striking than Makhachev, plus 550. Makhachev is 21-1, 3 knockouts, 10 submissions, 10-1 in the UFC, 9 straight wins, 3 straight of those via sub. He's a sambo champ and a grappling champ, 5 years younger than Green. Striking and grappling stats in his favor, minus 900. Go ahead, Dan. Juicy numbers here.
Yeah, I hate the minus 900 line, but you got to take him here. I'm so happy for Bobby Green getting this fight, but here's a real fact. Bobby Green was not the best person to fill in for this, because here's the thing about Bobby Green. He gives up takedowns. Like, he does. Yeah. Like you can say, like, oh, he gets right back up and shit like that. But, like, yeah, he got right back up against Clay Guida or Lando Venata. He didn't get right back up against Islam Makhachev. So he gives up the takedowns in the first place, which is a problem. sure, is he probably a better striker than Islam Makhachev? For sure, but like, look, the person who is going to be Islam Makhachev one day is going to be somebody who is both good at jiu-jitsu or good at stuffing takedowns or a phenomenal kickboxer, somebody who can throw a mean knee on the way in, and Bobby Green's none of those things. So I'm glad that people like the narrative here, but the line, even as juicy as it is just not tempting to me.
No, Makhachev is the pick. As I mentioned, Green gets taken down pretty much every fight. Anytime someone tries to take him down, he gets taken down. He is a far more active striker, as I said. He's also very good at not getting hit, but that's not going to matter because he's not going to be on his feet for too long. So Makhachev is the pick on this one. Pretty simple one, hopefully for us. All right, recommended plays. You ready to move on to recommended plays, Mr.
Yeah,
Whelan?
I'm ready for him.
All right, you go first. We'll let you pick first.
All right, I'm going to take $30 on of my 100 on Jinyu Fry. Just straight up.
Okay.
I think she wins that fight, and I like the line.
All right, 30 on Jinyu Fry. Let me see. I guess I'm going to steer clear of the minus 900 number. Let's take Fire Fist, just winning outright. 30 sounds like a good number. I'm not super sold on that. So let's take Kim, $30 on Kim beating Cachoeira at minus 185.
All right, and I'm going to take another 30, and I'm going to play Ignacio Baja Mondays straight up.
All right.
Over Zura.
What number am I giving you on that? I'm giving you minus 230. Okie dokie. Playing it safe this week, Dan, are we?
No, I got a couple of least, ones. Oh. I got some in the chamber that I'm coming for.
Oh, boy. In a second. Get ready. All right, I'm just going from top to bottom of the fight card here and seeing which ones I like. Boom. Yeah, Bob Monis is all right, but that's – do I want a number that big? I had one. Let's take Brahma. How much am I going to take him? Let's take $20 on him. Winning via submission. Do you have that number in front of you? Or
I do, because that my next play was $20. You like that one? Was $20 on Ramiz Brahimi by submission. So I'll just double that down with you. And the number we're getting is plus 100.
Definitely like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So even money on Brahimi to submit Michael Gilmore. And I'll just, like I said, I'm going to double that. That was going to be a $20 play for me that got me up to 80 and leaves me 20 left over.
All right, I still have $50 to spend. Let's take try not to take all the ones that Dan's taking here because I do like some of your picks, shockingly. Let's take I like Baja Mondes too. Let's take how much do I have here? Let's take 25 on Baja Mondes, just winning outright.
All right, and I'm going to put my last 20 on Terrence McKinney outright.
Okay, McKinney, and he's at even money, right? Or no, even better? Or is it just even?
I think I saw him at plus 110. 110, yeah.
Yep, all right. Yeah, it's hard to get different picks because we're very much on the same page this week. Who's the other one I was thinking of for 25? Jinyu Fry outright, $25 on Jinyu Fry winning outright at minus 190 was my last pick. So wrapping all that up in a nice bow for y'all as I put the remains of it in the spreadsheet. Okay, Dan, a.k.a. Gumby, $30 on Jinyu Fry beating Hannah Goldie, minus 190. $30 on Ignacio Baja Mondes beating, who's he fighting again?
Zhu Rong,
right? Minus 230. $20 on Ramiz Brahma winning outright. No, submission, that one.
Submission
over
Gilmore. Michael Gilmore.
Gilmore, the man with the name spelt wrong. Michael Gilmore. So he's taking that $20 plus money submission, and he's taking $20 on Terrence McKinney winning outright plus 110. For me, $30 on Fire Fist Ji-Yeon Kim winning outright over Priscilla Cachoeira minus 185. $20 on Brahma submission at even money. $25 on Baja Mondes winning outright at -230, and then $25 at Jin Yufrai winning outright at -190. Boom. Boom. That's another person's line. I keep stealing that person's line. Boom is one of his lines, too. This train's rolling down the track, Dan. Time for a 10-to-1 Hungry Jong parlay.
Yeah, it's time for the Super Dan Jong Hungry Man parlay. So, yeah, let's
okay, I'm actually going to type down your picks this time.
All right, yeah.
Which means you're going to lose. But
yeah, well, so let's start with the guys we already like, right? Like, we'll start with Baja Mondes, who we both agree we liked. I'm just going to throw Ramiz Brahimi in there straight up instead of getting too fancy with that one. And Jin Yufrai. Those are three plays that both of us put in there. And then if you add the two people that we had separately, Yi Jiang Kim and Terrence McKinney, it's going to give you 9.5-to-1. So just ride the ones that we have in our recommended plays here, and you'll wind up with that hungry man John parlay.
You're playing it safe, only 9.5 times your money this week. But hey, we'll take 9.5. Why not? Did we do it, Dan?
I think we got them through it.
We got them through it. All right. Hopefully this was enjoyable for all of y'all. Make sure you obviously watch the fights. And if you are watching the fights, go into the SGPN Slack, find the fights channel in there and hop in, because it's a fun time. Talking fights, making bets, all that good stuff. So make sure you get in the SGPN Slack. And we have it for basically every sport, and for food, and for booze, and for movies, and pretty much there's a board for everything in there. So, and there are all good peoples, good degens all around in there. So check that out. Check out all our writing and all the other podcasts, obviously, on the sportsgamblingpodcast.com. And then you can listen to Dan's podcast if you haven't heard enough of him. He's got Prelim Primer coming up, or maybe you've already done it. Maybe it's already out there for all I know. And then Top Turtle. Who we got on the Top Turtle podcast this week, Daniel?
On this week is Terrence McKinney, who we talked about a little bit on today's show. And then a fighter not fighting until the following weekend's card, Dustin Jacoby.
He's got a nickname, too. I can't think of it right
off the top of my head
there. Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's right. All right, there you go. Jam-packed show there also. So that is all you need to know. Oh, obviously. Twitter. I'm well over 1,000. I'm like 1,014. So I think I'm safe, unless I say something really bad and get myself canceled. But worst thing I say is hillbilly. I don't think hillbillies use Twitter, do they, Dan?
I don't think so, but I'm not sure.
You're not positive?
Yeah, I'm not positive about that.
All right. So follow me, Jeff Fox Writer. Follow him, Gumby Vreeland. I think it's probably my turn to take us home. We'll be back on Sunday to talk about how we did on this here fight card, and to maybe give you a quick preview on UFC 272, which we kind of did this show too. But anyhow, we'll have lots of fun on Sunday. Maybe there's other promotions we'll talk about. Who knows? Until then, I will be Firefist Jeff Fox. Actually, it sounds better if I say Jeff Firefist Fox. He is Gumby Daniel Vreeland, which sounds better if you just say Gumby Vreeland. And we will catch you on Sunday. Bye.